Peter Gagg, who drives it through. Oh, that's a magnificent goal, a sensational goal by the Millwall captain, Mitchell van der Gagg.
We had the high notes on the park. It was, that's how we became a great team together, you know. It was just unfortunate we never won anything.
Lane's in trouble, there's Steve Kirk. The super sub has done it again. And Millwall are back in front.
Without supporters, you cannot play a game. They are a very, very important part of the club.
Jukovic on the chase, might get there. Handel is with it. Jukovic! Oh, wow! Oh, wow! Lukas Jukovic!
I remember to this day, it was unbelievable. And that's another reason I love going back to Fir Park, because you do get to interact with the supporters again, who were wonderful for me.
Chance here for Motherwell. This is Pettigrew, outnumbered though, still has it. Chance of a lifetime for Pettigrew, and it is there!
Yeah, obviously being on the podcast is everything I've dreamed of.
Goes through the middle though, Marvin Johnson. Defenders backing off. Took a deflection!
Hello and welcome to the MFC podcast. Tonight myself and Jay are delighted to welcome back Peter Elder. Peter, thanks for joining us tonight, mate.
My pleasure. Thanks for having us on after another disappointing weekend.
Yes. I'm glad someone's able to laugh about it, because I'm still not quite over it, to be honest with you. A really disappointing afternoon. Don't get me wrong, I don't think Ross County were much better than we were, but what was a quite extraordinary individual error from Zach Jules leading to the Ross County goal. Jay, we started the split fixtures with two games, which, while they might not have been must-win games, they were must-not-lose games. We've come out with two losses. As it turns out, we're still very much in the mix in terms of avoiding these relegation playoffs. I would say after the weekend's result, it's perhaps down to the situation where ourselves, Hamilton, and even Inverness now, after they've got that victory against Accies on Saturday, have pulled themselves a wee bit more back into contention. You would imagine that it's two from three, one's going to be in the playoffs and one's going to be automatically relegated.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we're running out of must-win games to actually win. It was poor, very poor. When we were watching the Accies-Inverness game beforehand, I know that there was a few shouts of kind of celebration when Inverness were scoring. And I said then that I wasn't too sure that it was the best thing for us, because, you know, I wasn't confident going into the Ross County game. As I said last week on the podcast as well, you know, I just felt that the way we're approaching games at the moment is, you know, a lot like at times under McGee, where you kind of feel as though there's a reluctance from the management to learn lessons and to adapt and to perhaps approach games the way we really should when we're in the midst of our hard relegation battle. And I think we saw it again on Saturday. I know after the match, Robinson sort of suggested that we dominated and we created chances. We didn't dominate. I think the final possession figures, the BBC site at least, were 50-50. I think we had one more shot. I think we had, you know, two shots on target each or something on those lines. It was all very, apart from the corners that we had more of and did the square root of fuck all with, we didn't dominate in the slightest. We created nothing. You know, from memory, I think that Scott McDonald had a pretty tame shot in the first half into the goalkeeper's arms. Freer had a ball that flashed across the face of the goal, and Ainsworth had a deflected free kick, and I don't remember much more than that. So, you know, we know where we are. We're in a terrible situation, but we need to stop, you know, trying to kid on that we're dominating games and creating chances. Just like we said last week, we need to stop kidding on that we've got, you know, we're better than we're playing and we have these great players who are going to turn it around. We've played 35 games and we deserve to be 11th. And at the moment, I will take some convincing that isn't where we're going to be come the end of the season. If not, as you say, bottom of the league, because Saturday now becomes such a massive, massive game. You know, you talk about must-win games. You know, it puts the other ones to shame. Saturday, if we lose on Saturday, we're looking at 11th or 12th.
Peter, a lot's been covered by Jay there. I think the frustrating thing for me is, as a squad, yes, I don't think we're a great squad, but I think there's individuals in there that should be looking at themselves and thinking that they've underperformed far too often this season. It's a really bad situation, though, when you've got these must-win games and really maybe one or two get pass marks. It's a worrying situation, and it's worrying that the guys can't seem to turn it on when it really matters.
I think what we've seen at the weekend, particularly the longer the game goes, when we're either level or we're behind, is, as you find with most teams in the situation they find themselves in, they get more and more anxious, they get less and less confident, they're frightened to take risks, and the anxiety just grips the whole team. We should have enough experience there, I agree. We've got plenty of guys that have been through it only two seasons ago. But I mean, I think, I don't know, it's difficult to put your finger on what the exact problem is. We seem to be, you know, doing good things within games, but we also seem to be making daft errors that we're being punished heavily for. We don't seem to be able to get away with one. I mean, after Jules' inexplicable decision to keep the ball in when it was going out for a back kick, I mean, County did get a couple of lucky bounces when it came off Callum McHugh, and then they put the cross in. The boy slashed at it and it went perfectly into the boy at the back post to score. But it originated from an error we didn't need to make, and without that error, the game was meandering at 0-0. I don't think there's, you know, much doubt about that. County weren't doing much either. But we do need to find a spark from somewhere. Perhaps if we take the lead on Saturday at Aki's, that might be the thing that gets the supporters up, gets the team up. But you do tend to worry if we go behind. You know, and what the reaction will be for the stands, how the players will feel about that. We've only picked up 6 points this season from losing positions, but we have lost 13 from winning positions. And that's obviously a big problem as well. So it's getting that good start that's a problem. But if we get the good start, it might just eradicate, you know, all the bad things that we said we sometimes do when the pressure's on.
Jay, we said last week, and maybe we're actually just full of shite and it's not actually the case, but we don't tend to single out guys for criticism, because at the end of the day, it's a team game, and you look at it, 35 fixtures into the season, we sit second bottom, deservedly so, and I think possibly to a man, everyone in that dressing room could look at their performances over the season and think there's certainly two or three things that they could have done better. Zach Jules's error, that being said, it's just one of the worst things I've seen a professional footballer do. Just inexplicable. I don't know what the best they hoped for. The ball is rolling out of play. If it happened in our Thursday game of sevens, the person that made that error would be shouted down. I personally can't see any way back for Zach Jules after that. There's only three games of the season remaining. He's on loan. It might sound over the top. I would never have him played for the club again.
Well, I mean, firstly, I completely understand. At the end of the day, in terms of, you know, there are other players who will look at what they've contributed or what they've not contributed over the season. You know, Zach Jules's error is not going to relegate us. Well, you know, if we do go down, it will be, you know, the culmination of a terrible season, terrible performances, terrible decisions, etc., etc. So, you know, put it in perspective, yes, it's a terrible result, and it puts us in a very difficult situation going into Saturday, but it certainly doesn't consign us to the relegation. However, even describing it as an error or a mistake, I don't think it's even worthy of being described as a mistake. At the end of the day, a mistake is misjudging the flight of the ball. It is, you know, a momentary lapse of concentration where you lose the man you're meant to be marking. It is a poor touch. It is an underhit pass. It is not what Zach Jules did. What Zach Jules did goes against any rule book any professional footballer, in particular any professional defender, has ever read. In fact, it goes against any rule book of any amateur or boys club of pub league defender. There's absolutely no logic to what he does. I mean, I've watched that a couple of times since, just to see, you know, when I'm at the game, you know, we all kind of looked at each other in utter disbelief. I was quite keen to actually see the highlights because I wanted to see if, you know, it maybe looked as though it perhaps taking a nick off a Motherwell player or something, because obviously we're on the other side of the East Stand. Maybe our view wasn't great. But when you see it back, it just gets worse and worse. There is literally, you know, there's zero logic to what he does to begin with, keeping it in. But even then, he still has the opportunity, you know, whether it flashed through his head, oh, this might be going out for a corner, or he thought, I'm going to take a touch here because the attacker's not too near, I'll be able to turn and do something with it. As soon as he turns on that ball, sees that the attacker's closing down on him, he should put it out. So it's not even just a mistake that he makes. He makes a ridiculous decision and then compounds it with another ridiculous decision to pass the ball into his own box. I'm not sure how far I would go in terms of should never play for the club again, but I do know that there was rumours in Steelmen Online about how, you know, apparently Robinson had touted him to the board and suggested that we should be signing him. I don't know how true that is, but whether or not he plays for the club again, I would certainly like to think that a player who is prepared to do what he did on Saturday is not the kind of player that we should be looking at long term.
Yeah, see, in hindsight, and it was only 2 minutes ago I said that, that is particularly harsh, but I just think with it, 3 games to go of his deal, I would hope that he's punished for the mistake in the sense that he doesn't play for the remainder of the season. Even he's a young boy as well. I don't know how you go over. He's possibly had to watch it back and kind of consider what he did. And I hope he's got a better idea than we do, because I certainly haven't managed to fathom out what was going through his head.
Yeah, the thing I would say, Andy, obviously knowing Stevie Hamill, you know, passed a fitness test on Saturday morning and obviously came off early because he's still feeling his injury, and given that we're playing at Accies on Saturday on that pitch where, you know, Stevie would possibly struggle to play the full game, add to the fact that Richie Tate's out for the season, Big Mick's out for the season, which is the reason we'll get Cal McHugh, probably our best midfielder, playing in defence as well. The chance of Zach Jules not being involved at all, I think, is actually fairly slim. And I could actually, it's hard though it would be for him to come out. You might have an argument for saying that he could potentially start. Now, don't kind of choke on your cup of tea there, but as I say, we've got Stevie Hamill's injury problems on the surface. I think the only thing that might stop him starting is the fact that the supporter reaction and the pressure that would be on him. But I know what you're saying, and perhaps you might say, well, played David Ferguson there, or if Jack McMillan's potentially, you know, fit from his wrist injury, then put these guys back in. But then you're putting other younger players into a team that's struggling. Although Alan Campbell, certainly, it's not done him any harm. And obviously Russell Griffiths on Saturday didn't do anything wrong at all in goals. But I think... I think we'll still see Zach involved at the weekend, I have to say.
Yeah, and don't get me wrong, I kind of actually feel like apologising for that, because there's so many over the course of the season that you even mentioned David Ferguson there. He was, his back header led to the St Johnstone winner at Fir Park. We could go yep. through Craig Sampson, there's been so many individual errors that have been costly, but at the same time, we can't look at individual errors, as Jay said. We can't look at balls that were over the line that weren't awarded as goals. It's when you've played 35 games, you will be in a position that reflects how good you've been over the course of the season more often than not, and yes. I think that's very much the case for us. We do move on, and as difficult as it is on a Monday night, kind of at the start of the working week, trying to look ahead to the weekend. We had an interesting conversation earlier, Jay, and a point that you made really kind of resonated with me. And the point was, well, towards the end of last season, after we lost to St Johnstone, there was nothing to play for. We were out of contention for Europe. It was over. And I suppose this season, it's not really in the circumstance we would want a competitive game or a must-win game, but it's certainly one that you can't fail to start getting up for as the week progresses. And a local derby, it's always a feisty encounter when we go over to Hamilton. We'll have a very good support despite recent disappointments. See, even as you start talking about it just now, you kind of think, well, bring it on. It might be all right, but it's going to be a difficult game. But they're not a very good side. We did take 3 points at the end of last season. We then followed it up with a very late draw in the Hogmanay game. I don't want to say there's no reason why we shouldn't win, because there's plenty of reasons why we shouldn't win, but it's still one that I think I will end up looking forward to.
Well, as I said, you know, you mentioned the point I made. I mean, it was that kind of Monday post-defeat feeling of, oh God, there's a game on Saturday. A few mentions of, I don't even really want to go, I'm looking forward to just maybe a beer before it or whatever. And, you know, the point I was trying to make is, as much as I understand that and I completely agree with it almost, you know, nobody is enjoying the absolute turgid performances we're putting in, and certainly nobody's excited about the prospect of, you know, dropping down a division. But at the end of the day, if you're going to put up with the 35 games of largely of utter mince that we've had to put up with, then you might as well get up for the one game that's really, really going to mean something in a Lanarkshire derby on a sunny Saturday. At the end of the day, you're right, it's one of those games where if we can approach it as a bit of a cup final, you know, just go for it, you know, get stuck in, do the things that we've not been doing, but that we still have the ability to do. Okay, if we're not good enough to create chances, or we're not good enough to score goals, then you have to accept that. But any football player has still got the ability to get stuck in, to get the work rate up at its highest, and to just show that they're really battling for their lives. And if they can do that on Saturday, you know, as somebody pointed out earlier, I think it might have been on Pine Bovril or perhaps the one online, somebody pointed out that that the exact same things that Motherwell fans are saying about their team, Hamilton Accies fans are saying. You know, it's not as though Accies are some sort of, you know, fantastic football team that are just down there because they're a bit of bad luck, or they're showing any more fight than we are. By and large, any Accies fan you speak to or read comments from, they're very much of the same mindset we are. So it's a game we can go, it's a game we can, you know, go and try and win. But it's a game we need to go it's a game we have to win. And there is going to be that apprehension and a wee bit negativity going into it, because, you know, for the same reasons that you get up for it, because it is a Lanarkshire derby, are also the reasons that I think that, you know, adds that wee bit of caution and that wee apprehension, because, you know, Accies have, you know, done us, you know, a few times in the past, particularly in that plastic pitch. So it'll be a difficult game. As Peter says, you know, there's also the chance of certain players missing out because of the pitch. But it's basically the biggest game. I think Robinson suggested it was the biggest game since the playoff and the club's, you know, in the last couple of years for the club. So it's a game that I imagine every Motherwell fan there will be up for come Saturday. And we might as well be, because, you know, losing will put us in a really, really difficult situation, because Inverness looked particularly good against Accies, and it's certainly not out of the realms of possibility that they could close the gap on us. But might as well be confident.
But for all that, there is a bit of negativity. A 3 o'clock at Accies is going to be one of these games that not many Motherwell fans will want to miss. When the chips are down, people do tend to turn up, particularly for these away games. We should have a right good support with us. You would just hope that people can find it to just back the team for the 90 minutes and see what effect it can have. Yes, there will be people that argue that the team don't deserve the backing after some of the performances this season, but for me that's a bit of nonsense, to be fair, because at this moment in time, we're fighting for our lives. We need to be going there, creating a noise and really backing the team, because when they've got such a poor support, we can actually almost turn it into a home game for us in terms of the atmosphere, and hopefully that will G up the players.
Well, I'd hesitate to turn it into a home game, because our home record's not been that great. I know the point you're making, and a couple of points I would say, go back to one I made about, you know, we only took 6 points from losing positions. probably our best one was Hogg Mané, that Jay alluded to. When we got a point at the end playing for best part of an hour with 10 men. So that kind of spirit again on Saturday should stand us in good stead. And I know obviously you're saying about some people saying, oh no, sure, don't I support the team? It's not about players, it's not about the management, it's about the club on Saturday. And, you know, in terms of any, you know, looking back and recriminations and who should be there and who shouldn't be there, that has to wait to the end of the season. This is about a game that we need to, at the very, very worst, come away with a draw from. And what you think about individual players, managers, people, some of the stick people like our mutual friend Alan Burrows have been getting on Facebook and on Twitter has been bordering on the absolute lunacy. That none of that matters. It's about the position the club finds itself in at the end of this game and at the end of the season. For all we're saying, if we lose, it could be almost catastrophic. I look at it and think, if we win, we get a boost going into Kilmarnock on Tuesday. And, you know, a win there as well, we might actually be safe before we go to Inverness. So it's all the negativity that's there. It's almost as likely that we could, you know, get a couple of results together. Because as you say yourselves, Aki's are murder as well. You know, they're not a good team. The only advantage they will have over us on Saturday is that they know how to play in that pitch a wee bit better than we do. But on an absolutely ganting day in Hogg Mané with 10 men, we come back there and we got a great point right at the end. So the only thing we've got to fear on Saturday is ourselves. You know, as you say, like, go there, make some noise, get behind the players, try not to get too kind of negative and, you know, let the noise drop too soon and getting players back too soon, regardless of what's happening. Because especially with the young guys we spoke about earlier, you know, this is when they can go into their shells, and we need all these guys to, you know, think they're 10 foot tall with the backing they've got for every Motherwell fan. But as I say, I'm not worried about Aki's on Saturday. I'm only worried about, you know, what we might or might not do, because that's the reason why we're in the position that we're in. Well, obviously, we've spoken about, and you guys have spoken about refereeing errors and errors from the linesman and whatnot, but being honest, we've made far more errors than those guys, and that's why we are, as you pointed out, second bottom. But, you know, I like to think Saturday night will be tenth.
Just touching on the personal abuse in social media, some of the stuff has been absolutely scandalous written in the last couple of days. I don't understand how these brain dead people can actually switch on a computer sometimes, to be perfectly honest, never mind actually then seeking out someone to send them an individual message. I would hope that people actually start to realise that these are people with families and everything else. Cut out that shite. That is utter nonsense.
Well, Andy, you might have seen a comment. I had put a thing on Facebook on Saturday night, poking a wee bit of fun at myself by being a jinx, maybe twice, filling in for Phil Speedy, the stadium announcer, and we hadn't scored any goals. You know, I'm a jinx type of thing. And, you know, there was ended up over 100 comments, folks slagging the club. And there's one in particular, and I don't want to name the individual. I know you've seen it, Andy, and you've probably seen it yourself, Jay, who mentioned about Alan Burrows and how, you know, he wanted to kill him. And it's like, really? Over FIBA? You know, and that type of thing, as you say, that's just, you know, that's not criticism. That's something that gets into a stage where you can actually get the police involved with something like that. I mean, it's beyond a joke. And as you say, they've got families, they've got friends, you know, and at the end of the day, we all want the same thing. You know, we all know how much your Motherwell fan he is, and he'll be hurting probably more than the rest of us because he's got the weight of responsibility of the club on his shoulders as well. But, you know, as I said, some of this stuff has been beyond what could be described as acceptable criticism, and that needs to stop.
Yeah, as regardless of your opinions and his ability to do the job, at the end of the day, what I would certainly say, and I think we can all agree on, is that there's no one going to work harder to try and be his very best, and no one is harder on himself either than Flo is on himself. So I hope that's not hit him too hard. And really, I was quite disappointed to see the guy in question not even taking the time to remove the post or apologising for it. It was pretty disgraceful, yeah, to be perfectly honest. But again, Jay, another kind of talking point from the weekend was firstly, again, massive congratulations to all the boys for another successful food drive, which was very well received. Brilliant to see so many bags being brought down from Ross County fans as well. Derek Watson said that it looked like they had maybe drank some of the cans in the bags before they donated them, but it was great to see them turn up in such numbers and back another great initiative. It was then kind of moved maybe in line, depending on your political beliefs, to the banner revealed before the game, which I hadn't actually seen, I must confess, until going on to Twitter on Saturday night. It's had a wee bit of a mixed reaction from what I've seen online. Football and politics, it's quite a dangerous mix at times, but I suppose, given the circumstances and the timing of it, it was maybe quite prevalent. Have you got any take on it? Do you think it was a good idea? There is, as I say, it has been kind of a mixed reception, I would say.
Well, I mean, first and foremost, you know, it's the kind of subject that I probably need to declare an interest working and being active in politics and absolutely loathing the Tories with every fibre in my body. So, you know, obviously what I'm about to say could be, you know, people listening can obviously decide how much, how neutral they really think I am. But
which I think we can already surmise, no very. the opening gambit end, basically summed it up.
And then, but I mean, in terms of, I can understand what a lot of people are saying, you know, the idea of, you know, politics, the one thing you always kind of see is, oh, you know, keep politics and religion out of football. That in particular annoys me because I think that, you know, politics and religion aren't the same thing. They're not remotely the same thing. And I don't really like how they're always kind of just bunged in together. We know why they are, but, you know, I don't think that that's particularly relevant. And particularly in this case, I do tend to agree that, you know, politics don't really have a place in football on a regular basis. There's no need to turn a football club into, you know, a cheerleader for any real political cause or political party, you know, on a regular basis. And there's certainly no need to turn a football club into, you know, an arena for hatred in politics or religion. Of course, that goes without saying. However, I do think that in some circumstances, rare circumstances, you know, it goes beyond politics. It becomes, you know, we're not talking about, you know, just a political party. We're talking about a party who decimated, you know, Scottish communities all over Scotland, obviously all over Scotland, the Scottish communities, but decimated communities and industry in particular in Motherwell. And I see absolutely nothing wrong with a small group of Motherwell fans, you know, to take it upon themselves to, you know, hold up a banner for 30 seconds to a minute saying "Steel Men against the Tories." Now, you could argue that's because I fully agree with the banner. But at the end of the day, if someone sitting, you know, elsewhere in the ground wants to turn up in Tuesday night game with a banner that says "Steel Men for the Tories," perhaps not that wording. Steel Men's probably not the best, you know, maybe "Well Fans for the Tories" or whatever you want to go with. Not "Steel Men," considering we're talking about Ravenscraig here. But if somebody wants to do that, then, you know, crack on. You know, that's nobody is, if somebody does that, I am not going to assume that they are speaking for the entire Motherwell support. And I don't think anybody should think that the boys were speaking for the entire Motherwell support either. At the end of the day, I do think in politics in particular, there are times in history when it perhaps takes, you know, people standing up in more public areas and then making their voices heard, and I see no issue with it because we're not talking, you know, just about, you know, a wee political party against another political party or anything like that. We're talking about a party who, you know, has policies like the rape clause, who decimated Ravenscraig, and who continues to force people to go to the food banks that the boys were collecting for before the game. So I'm completely for it. I completely understand why politics shouldn't be in football on a regular basis, but for me, this was one of those few occasions, you know, particularly the Ravenscraig council had been elected, which, you know, it's absolutely incredible. You know, it's one of those rare occasions that I think that, people, you know, just regular punters out with the political elite are within their rights to stand up and make their voice heard.
What other podcast are you going to get from Zach Jules to the rape clause in the space of 5 minutes? That's marvellous.
Join us over the summer where we'll be talking all things astronomy and everything else. Wait, just wait and see.
Aye.
Jay,
I was just going to say, Andy, just on that, on the banner, I think obviously the only thing, as a part-time employee from the club's point of view, obviously there's a potential for the club to be fined, whether you agree with the fact that that rule's in place, and not because of anything that's happened at a ground like Fir Park, but obviously it's happened at, shall we say, larger stadia in Scotland where there's been other political banners, so they've had to do a blanket, no political banners at all. I've seen obviously some people on the Facebook pages and Motherwell saying, you know, that some people who actually voted Tory and they wasn't too happy about it, which is, you know, obviously it's strange to see people admitting voting Tory in North Lanarkshire, but it's a free open vote, they can do what they please. But I think, as I say, the only thing I would say is the club's point of view, they could potentially have landed a fine. I don't think they will, but if anything happens again, whether we like it or not, there's the financial implications, which aren't clever. And suppose, you know, as much as I agree with what Jay said about the Tory party, the irony that although probably most of the people holding the banner up weren't even born when Ravenscraig was flattened, there's a certain humour there. But obviously, I understand that, you know, there's things happened since then that people should do that. But in a general sense, while free speech is a good thing, I don't want the club getting into any bother, especially financially, and I think probably it's probably best left outside the ground, to be honest.
As I say, I it was quite kind of it never really I think I was very much on the fence with it all, to be perfectly honest. I kind of agreeing wholeheartedly with the sentiments behind it, and I think that the just so much good as well, that, and I don't think that it was done with any bad intentions. So hopefully, there'll be no financial consequences for the club, and I think that that's a kind of storm waiting to happen, should there be any actions as well, it must be said. So, but we'll wait and see.
Yeah.
Jay, we'll talk quickly about the Kilmarnock game on the Tuesday, when there is a game that early on in the week. We don't intend to record till after the game, because the podcast ends up out of date after about 24 hours have been online, so it makes sense to kind of hold back a wee bit. What I was actually thinking about there, this Saturday will be your last game of the season, so you're buggering off just as the shit really hits the fan. You've had the last visit to Fir Park this season. You've got to hope, though, that we'll go into it in a positive mindset. Kilmarnock could be all but safe if they're to beat Inverness at Rugby Park on Saturday. Interesting times ahead. The boost to the crowd should be fairly significant, given that season ticket holders at Fir Park can bring a friend for free, hopefully as many as possible. Rope an unsuspecting victim along and make them take in 90 minutes at Fir Park. But as Every game between now and a week on Saturday against Inverness is absolutely massive, and while we don't know what frame of mind we'll be going into it in, the same can be said regardless.
I mean, obviously I need to correct you. I'm only away for a week, so I will be back for the playoffs, so it's not quite like missing, you know, my last game. I'm not quite my last game of the season just yet. Let's wait and see how it pans out. No, you're right. It'll be interesting. It'll be interesting to see. I mean, again, it's so difficult to talk about it, because Saturday is such a massive, massive game. If we can win on Saturday, then suddenly Tuesday becomes this whole different scenario where we can try and grind out some sort of result to almost you know, keep ourselves safe. Whereas, of course, if we go to Yankees and get beat, then Tuesday becomes such a worrying scenario. I was quite surprised with Dundee going to Rugby Park and winning. You know, Kelly seemed to be perhaps the best of the bottom bunch, and you were kind of looking at them to maybe continuing to get good results to benefit us. So it's really difficult to kind of see how the rest of the season's going to pan out, because if we've got Aki's on Saturday, I think I'm right in saying Inverness are away to Kelly on Saturday. I don't know. Yeah, I checked earlier on.
It's Kelly on
So I mean, you know, prior to the weekend that just passed, I would have looked at that weekend and kind of thought Kelly winning was a shoo-in. But having watched Inverness play particularly well against Aki's and Dundee going to Rugby Park and winning, it now throws that game up in there as well. So it's just really, I don't want to say interesting, it's quite concerning how the season's going to pan out. But the game against Kilmarnock, you know, it could be at opposite ends of the spectrum depending on how Saturday goes. It can either be a great opportunity for us to make sure that we're playing top flight football next year, or it could be a really, really worrying battle to try and just even make sure that we're not going down automatically.
People. Well, that's the point. Yeah, I was just going to say, Andy, because when a few weeks ago I was thinking we're 7 ahead of Inverness, one more win and there's no way they're catching us. But you know, I think obviously they're bottom for a very good reason, is that they've not been stringing too many results together. Although we've not won back-to-back league games all season ourselves. Interesting thing you mentioned about Kilmarnock, before we started the bottom six fixtures, they were the one team that we all thought they're completely safe, they're out of it. But they're almost, you know, a win from us, maybe a win from Inverness and them losing at the weekend, to be right in it themselves, because you always get a team that maybe just misses out in the top six, ends up, you know, thinking that they're safe, the disappointment of not being in the top six, then they lose a couple of games and suddenly they're dragged into a relegation battle. And we thought Ross County and Dundee, oh, they maybe start to struggle. They both won two in the bounce, and I would say they're almost safe, to be honest now. I think it's really a three-team league at the bottom, you know, which we want to finish top of. Regarding the Kelly game, Jay's absolutely right. That will determine, the mood in that game will determine what happens at the weekend. But whatever the situation is, we need to be looking to win that game. We need to be looking to have a much, much bigger crowd at Firth Park, a vocal crowd. The last home game, we could be going in to getting 3 points to potentially be safe, because Aki's are at Ross County on the same night. So it could be the old, you know, watching our game and listening out for, you know, updates from Dingwall, hoping that County are doing us a wee turn up there as well. But there's been a couple, as you say, surprise results with Kelly losing at home to Dundee, maybe even us getting beat with Dundee, you know, the way Dundee were playing at that time. So I think there's still one or two twists and turns to happen in this bottom six. I just hope that our form's about to turn, and maybe in fairness to the guys, our luck's that we've got to turn as well. As poor as we've played at times, we've not had a wee bit of a rub of the green, you know, very often this season. Maybe we got one for the third goal against Inverness. Perhaps we're due that with other goals we didn't get that were over the line. But we've not had a lot of luck, and maybe at this time I will gladly take the worst penalty decision in the world going in our favour. I will gladly take us diving to get one of the opposition sent half. I couldn't care less. I normally don't like that type of thing, but bet your bottom dollar Aki's and Inverness will be looking to explore all the dark arts to get them out of the situation. So I'd be quite happy for Scotty McDonald to revert to type, as some might say. A couple of wee dives, I couldn't care less. Do what has to be done to get us out of this situation.
On the initiative to bring a friend, Jay, I know it's always kind of advertised in the season ticket that there will be incentives and various kind of promotions through the season. It's ideal timing for what will be a massive game. Midweek games tend to kind of, at this time of year, it should be a fairly mild night, hopefully kind of like tonight is, and people do turn out and get behind the team. When I think the playoffs kind of showed, when the chips are down, Motherwell fans will come out and try and get behind the team. Yes, I know that it did help, the fact that the results were as they were, but they still made the effort to come out in the first place. And I really hope that is the case for these last, well, the next two games, and then as many can make their way to Inverness as possible. I know the Welsh Society have been looking at putting on a bus. There's a few buses that perhaps don't normally go that are going to be going to that game as well. So it looks like the supporters are going to do their bit. It's now time for those 11 on the park and however many come on as a sub to do their bit.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, at the end of the day, I don't think there's been, you know, people go on about attendances and things like that, but I don't think there's any been, you know, desertion or anything like that. I mean, obviously, we're probably a little bit, not biased, but, you know, our impression of atmosphere in games and things like that are perhaps not, well, maybe not, obviously, when you've got your daughter at the game, you're at the other end of the stand, but where we normally stand, up the very back of the boys' section, that obviously kind of skews your, in, you know, your impression of the atmosphere. I'm sure there'll be other areas of the ground where maybe the fans are getting on the players' backs a lot more, so it's hard to comment on that. But certainly where we are, it doesn't feel as though there's any kind of less support for the players. There's certainly, I would like to think there certainly won't be on Saturday at least. And you know, even the game against Kelly, if there is a bumper crowd, then you would like to think that regardless of what happens on Saturday, if you're going along on a Tuesday night for the second last Motherwell game of the season, you'd like to think your starting point would be at least to be behind the team. Obviously, if what happens on the park, you know, changes your mind halfway through, fair enough. But, you know, I don't think there's any massive danger of there being, you know, widespread anguish or tax on the players from the kick-off. I think the Motherwell fans will be right behind the team and all our games remaining. But again, you're right, it's down to the players as well. You talk about the players on the park giving the fans, you know, something to cheer about. I said earlier about how even if we can't create chances and can't score goals, the players can still get stuck in, they can still, you know, roll up their sleeves. And sometimes it's even that, sometimes it's just, you know, even on Saturday there, you know, Alan Campbell was getting stuck in the odd challenge, and even just that can be a wee spark or a wee, you know, get a wee bit of noise in the crowd. So, you know, it's not just about, you know, how the players play in terms of ability and passing and things like that. It's also how they, you know, approach the game and get stuck in. And if they can do that in these last remaining games, then, you know, I think the fans will stand by them at least until, you know, things are perhaps either completely safe or, you know, obviously the opposite.
Peter, you obviously see the games from a different vantage point these days. Well, Saturday was a even more different vantage point when you're now banned from doing that, given that we've not managed to score a goal when you've been in that role.
I'll take that.
That must be very difficult at this point, particularly when you're not getting the results and you've got to get the guys in there, and there's pain punters taking hospitality, they're expecting a day out, they're expecting to be kind of entertained over and above the football. It must be hard to kind of sometimes put on a brave face when things are as difficult as they've been recently.
Well, you're not wrong. I mean, obviously, in my role as hospitality host, it's, before the game, it's not too bad. Everyone's in good spirits, and you know, after the game, it can be. I've never had players coming in. Nobody's ever got any stick because obviously people realise that, you know, players are coming in. Maybe they're just cowardly. Maybe they'll slag them in the stand, but no saying to their face. But, I mean, it's part of my, it's the job, and maybe, I suppose naturally I'm a type of, more positive type of person. But, you know, you know, I always make the point in hospitality, you know, we'll guarantee you a good meal, we'll guarantee you a good drink, guarantee you a good time. We can't make any guarantees about the football. That's just how it is. But, you know, when the guys come in after the game at the Man of the Match, I always, you know, kind of like try and kind of cheer them up, you know, make them feel a wee bit better. I mean, Saturday we had Elliot Freer in for the first time, and he did look very, very down, and he sounded that way after the Dundee game back in you know, the one it turned out to be McGee's last one in charge. Louis Moult came in, and honestly, you would think he'd just come back from a close family friend's funeral. The look in his face, you know, it literally was ashen-faced. So I would certainly say the players do care. But, you know, as you rightly say, we've just got to kind of, like, get behind them and, one of the things I try to do in the hospitality after a defeat is, I suppose, try and cheer them up, make it a wee bit kind of light-hearted. If I may tell a wee story, which actually has me saying something mildly humorous for once. It was last season after the Celtic game where Conor Ripley actually had an absolutely magnificent game, but let the winning goal kind of through his legs in the last 10 minutes, if you remember. Mm-hmm. But he was the man of the match by a mile. He had a great game. So when I came out and I says, listen, don't worry about it. One moment doesn't define your game. But went up to the sponsor lounge and I just said to him, you know, were the players, in front of the sponsors, did the players say anything after the game, you know, how were they treating you? And he said, he said something like, oh, they just left me sitting, you know, my head was down, I was really gutted and that. But he says, oh, I've got a good family there, I've got my dad behind me. And quick as a flash, I says, it's a pity he wasn't fucking behind you in the 75th minute, you might have saved that fucking shot. Ripper started pissing himself and all the tension and upset was gone. So you just try and take the sting out of it. But, you know, they're human beings, they care about what they do. I would challenge any fan to come in and, you know, see the players, as I have, you know, quite a few of them after the games, after a defeat. You know, there's nobody coming out laughing and joking and, you know, not caring. They care a hell of a lot. I know sometimes people say maybe it doesn't look like that in the park, but, that doesn't mean just because you maybe put in a stupid tackle and get a yellow card or lump the ball forward every opportunity as the crowd out urge you to do, you know, just if you're not doing that, doesn't mean that you don't care. But, you know, I enjoy what I do. It's not easy interviewing, trying to interview a player after a 4-0 pumping, for example, but, you know, you make allowances for that. But I just hope that after the Kilmarnock game, we're talking about two wins and the bounce and us being virtually safe. Let's be positive. Let's kind of like look at it in that. Two wins and, the Tuesday night is a good night.
Yeah, absolutely. And thank you to, first and foremost, Patterson's Trophy Supplies for yet again putting up two fantastic awards for the podcast Player of the Year. Not really the most ideal circumstances to be presenting awards in, it must be said, after the game on Saturday. We worried for a wee bit that Louis Moult had actually stormed home in a bit of a huff, but eventually, after spending a hell of a lot of time speaking to sponsors and then speaking to fans outside, we got a couple of minutes with him and got to present his award. Well, he eventually got his correct award after we gave Chrissy Carden his award and he drove off and had to stop his car.
See, it's not always that Jules that makes errors, is it?
No, but the thing is, at least I make them every week and they're not really very consequential. But it was nice to give the guys their awards. They're always very forthcoming with us. They're always willing to have a bit of conversation. You could tell both guys were absolutely devastated about how the afternoon had went, keen to make amends come Saturday. Jay, there's possibly not much you can add to that, but if possible, just a quick word of thanks for Patterson's, really, because yet again they've come up trumps for us and another show of real support for us.
Oh, aye, no, they're cracking, and then to be fair, the trophies are really, really good. I can't imagine Chrissy Carden would have been too pleased if he'd get home and saw that his had Louis Moult's name on it, because it was a good piece of gear, and I think he would have been quite pleased to have his own name on it, so I'm sure he's quite pleased with it.
Yeah, it would have been upgraded to Player of the Year, I suppose, but not really ideal when it's someone else's. Guys, I think that's pretty much all we've got for this week. We'll regroup again at the start of next week without Jay. We should have bust a back, hopefully. If not, then I'll be sitting in a room myself talking to the iPad, so fingers crossed he will be available. Peter, thanks.
Do you want to say anything to that, Jay, or will I?
No, it's alright.
Well, I was about to thank you, but do you know what?
We'll just leave it lingering.
We'll just think it.
Well, as I say, I was about to actually thank you for your time tonight, but you can bugger off. Jay, thanks very much.
Cheers.
Thanks for having us on. Good to talk to you guys.
Thanks again, mate. You've been listening to the MFC podcast. We'll be back next week. Until then, thank you and goodbye. Wow, you're telling me about this. I'll tell you about that. Stop talking, should you walk into another trap?
Touch you.